Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome back and welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. I know you guys missed me. It's been a very long time. School's been crazy. Enough excuses. Let's dive into this. Today, guess what we're going to talk about? Doctor Who. And we're going to talk about the finale. And today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, freshman?
Oh, I'm not a freshman anymore. You're so adorable. Stop it. And I also have with me Will.
Hello.
Are you doing chicken noises?
No, I wasn't doing a chicken. Doing pomp and circumstance.
Don't do that.
I could do pomp and circumstance as a chicken.
That is really not helping. That is not helping.
Y'all remember Chicken Boo from the Animaniacs? Oh my god.
I love a good
Where's
chicken
the skies
voice.
Like human guys, but he's not a man, he's chicken.
He's
boo.
A chicken.
Yeah, that's that's the, okay. Anyway, We're back. Sci-Fi Party Line and Doctor Who, and today we're gonna discuss Nightmare and Silver. Because Will is forcing us. No, Carl is forcing us to. Hey. And also, we're going to talk about the name of the doctor, which I'm excited to get to. But yeah. We have to, do chores first. So let's go Nightmare and Silver. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Nightmare and Silver. I really liked it. Carl.
Okay. Well, you see, Kat was so enthusiastic about this episode. I was dying to hear what she had to say about it. So why don't you take it, Kat? Yeah. What did you think about this exciting episode of Doctor Who?
Man, wow. When I meet you, you're going in a headlock. So. Okay, so Nightmare and Silver. This is the one with the Cybermen. And it had Warwick Davis, which I really love. I love this guy. He's so funny to me. He's on this season of An Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington, and those two together are hilarious. And I just think, why haven't they had Warwick Davis before? You know, because he's just so great. Cybermen, didn't hate him. Thought it was interesting. They had a little 7 of 9 action going there for the doctor on his face, blah, blah. I enjoyed the addition of the kids. It made it feel like the Sarah Jane Adventures to me, which, you know, some people might not have enjoyed the kids tagging along, but I kind of did. Did not enjoy Matt Smith, Tyler Durden situation thing. I don't know. He does not pull off evil well to me. I don't know. I really wish they would have had a different character to do that for us so we can get a real push-pull thing. I think, what was the doctor that wore the question mark tie? Which one was that? Dr. Seven?
Sylvester McCoy?
Yeah, McCoy. McCoy did something that was similar where he had played a chess match. I forgot which episode that was, but he actually had a guy and he wasn't playing himself. If I recall, I wish we would have seen something like that instead of Matt Smith playing Matt Smith against Matt Smith. Because it just, I think David Tennant wouldn't have been able to pull it off because he does range as well. Christopher Eccleston might not have pulled it off because he'd have been like two dark characters, you know, but I think David Tennant would have been able to do this really well. Matt Smith, meh, I don't know.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. There's a point at which it was the Cybermen. I was discussing this with my friend and we were talking, and he said that the Cybermen were a lack of emotion. The Cybercon leader that he, or controller, he mutated into was not had more emotion than even he did, you know, being wacky and Mr. Clever Man. We don't say that in this side of the ocean, and I don't think many people over there do. Oh, I'm so clever. No. No, actually, maybe you're not, because you have to say it. But it was just, it was, yeah, that part of it was a little too much for me in general. Although, having said that, they did, Neil Gaiman did handle how, and the director did handle how that worked very well.
So
I mean,
that was the
if you
Neil
took
Gaiman,
that as a,
that was the Neil Gaiman one?
That was the Neil Gaiman episode.
Disappointed.
Yeah. See, no, see, I this that that's Neil Gaiman to me. I really was surprised by the doctor's wife. This episode is more, you know, it lines up more with what I've had had experience with the things that he's written for the screen. You know, from the Mononoke translation to Neverwhere.
Neverwhere
and,
was excellent. See,
I didn't like Neverwhere.
I loved it.
I did not like the first one. I liked the reimagined it recently, like in the last 6 months.
I think that one
I like. But
I don't know which one I saw. I saw the one where the guy, the Marquis de Sade, was a black guy. I mean, Marquis de Sade. Wait.
No, it's not Marquis de Sade.
Yeah. Where am I going? Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Yeah. No. So.
The meds are setting in.
Sorry, Bill. Well, the original one, it just fell flat for me. And the reimagined had Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Oh, I'm in love with him now.
And the woman who was the queen was the... was the female assassin.
Okay, so back to Nightmare and Silver.
She was the queen from Doctor Who. I'm the ruddy queen. Her.
Okay. Carl, since you deflected and made me talk about Nightmare, why don't you go ahead?
I totally wanted to hear what you had to say. All right, so the thing that I love most about Doctor Who is its ability to tell stories that we haven't seen before. To, you know, bring out sort of new perspectives in the characters and new perils. Classic Doctor Who, what I really liked is with the crappiest special effects. Well, I mean, things are just terrible. The symbolism of those crappy effects, what they made up for the bad special effects with not just good storytelling, but arranging scenarios and types of peril that we hadn't seen before. You know, it was really, really interesting. So now with special effects getting less expensive, with the production company that is involved with Doctor Who getting better and better at things, you see a progression of the special effects, particularly how the new look of the Cybermen. You couldn't help but notice, like, wow, you know, these guys, now granted they didn't use computer animation or anything like that, but the suits were a lot more definition, a lot more well done. So when you see that, you believe that they've got a better handle on the special effects. And this season has not necessarily taken us to new places story-wise. So at least you can say, all right, the special effects and the production value is on an upward arc. And if I gotta suffer through an episode that perhaps is not, you know, that much new, that much more innovative, that at least, you know, I get to see the Doctor reimagined with new state-of-the-art special effects. Well, I can live with that. Now let's talk about this episode. That being said, this whole season, it's felt like the stories have been a little light. And for some reason, somehow, it appears the special effects are regressing on Doctor Who. All right, now that, you know, I had a sense of it a past couple of episodes, but this one in particular, I'm like, wait a minute. All right, so all right, now I like the outfits. I do like the Cybermen suits. The new Cybermen were kind of cool, but everything else, oh my god. The stop motion slugs that were moving around. I mean, and they weren't even well done stop motion.
The Cybermites?
Like, Yes.
You didn't like the Cybermites?
They were horrible.
I love the Cybermites.
Those suckers were they were like 6 frames per second. You jumped across the screen. It was horrible. I mean, I've seen better animation with like clay. And then that scene where I think it was the Cyberman hand that jumped on the girl's face, right? That,
Come on, listen.
You could see the film being run in reverse when it was like the facial effects were just toileted out in this. And I'm sitting there going, what? How would they could have done that so much easier? I mean, I've seen gag reels where they did more effective special effects. So I'm sitting there going, this is getting to be unwatchable again. I mean, I was feeling 1982 Doctor Who creeping back with this stuff. And so I'm like, oh God. So, you know, I'm trying to hang in there with the storyline. Wow, you know, amusement park in space. Where have we seen this before? You know, I was not really digging the kids. I'm sorry. I was not digging the kids. They had a bunch of attitude.
I like the girl more than I like the boy, but
they both
like Sarah Jane.
Plot wise, you know you gotta get the kids in peril and danger. Something's interesting gotta happen. But you can't actually get the kids in danger because the BBC doesn't let you do that. I'm not complaining that the kids weren't in sufficient danger. All I'm saying is at least make how they get in danger interesting. Don't say for the 8 billionth time, you kids wait here. You'll be right back. For the love of God. Give me, this is Dr. Freaking Who. Give me one way of putting the kids in peril that's a little bit different. Don't just have the kid wander off. Another underutilization of character.
Everybody wanders off.
No, I mean, come on. You can do better than that. Another underutilization of character. You know, I love seeing David Warner earlier in the season. I thought he was underutilized.
Oh.
Whoa, Davies. Come on, man. He was the original Time Bandits. Come on. At least they could have. There should have been some kind of reference in there. What? I thought he was in Time Bandits.
No, he's not the lead in Time Bandits. I forget the actor's name.
Was he
in? I don't think.
Here, let me Google that for you.
If I'm remembering correctly, he would have been 12. He'd have been 6 because he was 12 when he did Jedi.
Really?
He's 12 or 14, something like that. He's a kid. He's like my age.
He's
really young.
Really? Okay. All right. Well,
Something like that. Yeah. No. I think he's like 40. He's not very old.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's not like
Warwick Davis was born in 1970 in Epsom, Surrey, England, UK.
Yeah. So he's 42. He's my sister's age. Yeah. But I mean, I think there's a perception problem with little people because you can't glance at them and say, oh, that guy's obviously
the age.
Because you don't know. Yeah. You don't know how tall he is. And there's no reference.
His hair isn't gray.
Exactly. But
I still thought there could have been a cool Time Bandits reference though. That would have totally worked.
So who was in Time Bandits that you thought that should have what now?
Did you see Time Bandits? Oh,
no, of course not.
Oh,
what?
Are you serious? You haven't seen Time
Bandits? I don't know.
Okay, well,
on IMDb right now, and I'm like,
There were quite a few little people in Time Bandits that were the Time Bandits.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were time travelers, and they ran around doing stuff, and so I thought it was kind of fun, the reference there. Yeah. But anyway, so I screwed that up. He's a great actor. He's a great actor in general, and he's been doing some really good things. And so I do like the stunt casting, you know, but I really wish that they had done more with them. The whole episode, I didn't find it particularly imaginative. It was not in the spirit of what I really appreciate about Doctor Who. If you can't be innovative story-wise, at least try to, you know, humor me with some special effects, and they didn't quite do that. And so the whole episode, and as much as, you know, I love the robot team, I want to see Cybermen, I want to see Daleks. Those should be some of the most exciting episodes, story-wise or action-wise. So if you're going to bring them out, I expect there to be something happening. And this one was just, and of course, you know, the left side is evil Doctor Who, and the right side is good Doctor Who, back and forth. That I totally agree, guys. That was not well done. That was not well done. So all of this stuff came together. This one was not at all my favorite. Not at all my favorite Doctor Who episode here. Mm. So
I like it. I did like it from a story aspect, because it had every practically every reference to every aspect of the Cybermen that had been thrown out in different episodes were all condensed into one. This is what the Cybermen are. This is everything in the pot, everybody in. And that I liked, you know, the not cybermats, but cybermites. I love the cybermites. I think they're very well done. I'm sorry.
I like the idea of them. That's what I say. I like the
but
idea
the implementation,
of them.
Come on.
I thought they're crawling along your guy's face. I was freaky, man.
Yeah, if it was crawling, not that jumping where it was just, you know, stop motion jump. That was not well done.
No. Come on. It wasn't stop motion. Give me a
break. It was stop motion.
I will bet you $500,000 that it was, in fact, computer generated.
God, if so, it must have been an Amiga doing it, because that was just the worst. That was the worst.
Don't you say about my Amiga. Do not say it.
Listen, I love Amigas, but, you know.
Guys, put them away.
It's been a while.
Put them away.
Geek Attack. We have
No, but anyways, Nightmare and Silver. I want to see Cybermen and Daleks for a while. I just need a break.
Look, I want to see them, but I want to see them in a good episode.
Yeah, but I think that every time they use them, it's just like...
It is kind of like the last time they used the Daleks, it was last two times they used the Daleks, it was basically... stunt casting for the Daleks, because it was just like, hey, it's the Daleks.
Not good episodes.
That the Asylum of the Daleks was good.
I like that. I like that.
Good. Well, that was good. That was good. That's a while back, you know. We were talking about.
That was the first episode of the season. First one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about one of this? I'm ready to do
that. Just one last thing. The fast forward Cybermen motion.
What
are you talking about?
The fast forward motion of the Cybermen. You know, they're fast.
Yeah.
So
drawn by
like World War Z zombies, because they're fast. Yeah.
No. These were like hyper fast. These were.
Yeah, and I'm just talking about how spectacular that effect looked on screen. They're moving very fast.
Just stop, Carl.
That's what I was saying during the episode. Just stop. No more.
Yeah. Okay,
move on. Let's move on. I want to name of the doctor. Name of the doctor.
Okay, go ahead with the name of the doctor.
I think we should move on to the name of the doctor.
We
now.
Should move on. I don't know. Okay, go.
The name of the doctor. Okay.
What a weird thing to find out that it was, in fact, John Smith. I, Dr. John Smith. I find that very hard to. Sorry.
His name is Robert Paulson. Okay, that's enough playing around. So
there's an H in it. That's all I'm saying.
Start from the top. The top is, I want to get this out of the way, Clara.
Clara.
And
what happens to Clara?
So in this episode, we find out why she's died many times. What's so impossible about her? Did anyone care?
I did. That it was great to finally figure out what that was.
I'm taking a partial win on that. I'm going, yes, I kind of figured it out as much as you could figure it out, because we didn't, as the audience, we didn't have, you know, data that was in the very last part of the episode, or in the last half of the episode. So, you know, I didn't know that the doctor turned into the time tunnel. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Which he thought, he laughed at that, which I thought was funny.
That was funny.
So...
My own personal time tunnel.
I was bored by it, the revelation. I thought that Rose did this with Bad Wolf. We've seen this before. I just did not care. I was hoping that I was seeing like the final her exit, because I've just not bonded with Clara because of the way she came in. She died a couple of times and all this, and now I'm just not really into her. So I didn't care. It wasn't a big reveal. I felt like I've seen something like this before. So I don't know. That's where I am with that.
Okay. Well, no, it's true that we've seen, you know, girls lost in time on Doctor Who before. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. But I just thought that it was done in an interesting way this time. I mean, it still wasn't the full Rose sacrifice in terms of, you know, how long it took in terms of the story arc and the other stuff. But I just think her being sprinkled, if the other episodes of this season had done a better job of bringing little pieces of her experience with the Doctor out, that might have had more of a punch in this episode. But conceptually,
we got souffles, Run You Clever Boy, and a leaf.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, you know, there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough of that to give it the emotional punch that it needed.
And a freaking leaf.
A leaf? Yeah, what's a leaf? No.
You know, well.
It
could have been an acorn. Up,
but she kept on, here's my signature souffle line. Here's my Run You Clever Bar line. Oh, let's talk about the leaf again. I'm that leaf. Like, Jesus Christ. Would you stop with that? Be a person if
you... Hold on one second. When did he come into this? It was not in the episode.
It was an expression. Leave it. But I just... Moffat, boo, what?
Oh, my God. Did I hear a boo Moffat?
That was boo as in baby boo, not...
Okay, that's almost gross.
Yeah.
I didn't say boo.
Oh.
Okay, anyway. Yeah. So it was the big reveal. I didn't care, but there's other stuff that I cared about. But you guys didn't mind the Clara thing. Like, Will, I don't think what did you say? I didn't hear what you had to say about the Clara reveal.
Well, I liked it. I did. I like the logic of it, how it worked. And I kind of like how he revealed it, in that he showed us how Clara coming in worked. You know what I mean? She had to die each time, which is like not the best way to say it, but it was logical, and it repeated, you know, things repeated themselves, and you went. And she kind of, I did like, that kind of explains how he goes, look, it's the TARDIS. And she goes, yeah, so? You know, because it's like, if you've seen it 100 times before, you're not really that impressed. And maybe she was, you know, maybe that's how that worked.
Well, what I really don't enjoy is that now... What has happened is that Clara has been injected into the entirety of the history of the Doctor. I mean, she was there when he picked out the TARDIS. She was there when Tom Baker was doing stuff. She was there with Pertwee. She was there with all this other type of things. And so, like, now we can't just dismiss her and get rid of her. Like, with Amy and Rory, that was just a little snippet of time. She's just, like, stretched upon the whole entirety of the Doctor. And that's kind of annoying, because she's just not my favorite companion at this point.
When the episode started, I thought it was really interesting to see what they were doing, to tying in all the different doctors, that little hint throughout history. I thought that was really well done, and I was excited about the prospect of what was going to happen in the episode. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It was not, you know, executed as well, you know, as it should have been given the scale of what was going on. I'm hoping that with time we're going to see something a little bit more exciting going on. But I'm hoping with time that we're going to see something a little bit more interesting, because we've got plenty of time to deal with here.
All right, thank you. Yes, thank you. We get the reference. Thank you.
Yes. But
will the man have his moment?
Never
mind.
It was a unique story in general, in terms of the kind of peril that was created. How the doctor was in trouble. You know, normally when you see a character in science fiction flailing around on the ground, you know, you roll your eyes and you go, okay, we're not seeing the special effects, okay, whatever. But in your mind, you know, the thought of what was going wrong with the doctor when, you know, the intelligence was starting to rip apart his entire story, that's interesting. You don't have to have the special effects to back that up. And that's what makes Doctor Who great, to be thinking about, you know, wow, you know, that's a new kind of peril. That's a new kind of trouble going on there. And that Clara had to jump in there to try to save him as ribbons throughout time. That's new. That's a unique concept. So I was interested in that. You know, independent of how well the special effects were doing, it took me back to what I liked about Doctor Who, which is, you know, what are these, you know, asking questions and different kind of perceptions of things and looking at stories in different ways. So that, you know, I kind of like that. I kind of like that in the episode.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think this season has felt like we were saying, it's felt not all there.
It's been light.
Light, very much so. I think that has given pause. They're only like maybe, even if you look at them very, very, very closely, even Asylum of the Daleks is not as big as it felt.
Nope.
Nor as it should have been. I mean,
I agree.
It looked pretty darn big at the beginning, but it ended up not being big.
It was good.
That's right.
It was
and I believe that, I'm hoping beyond hope, that the reason that all is happening is going to be the 50th special with your favorite,
Tom Baker.
No, well, I would wish, but no, I meant Kat. You were talking. You were kind of going squeeing a bit about John Hurt.
So moving right along,
should we have? Is there any kind of relationship we should know? I mean, is there any kind of a thing that you're?
You like John Hurt?
Let's get to that in a moment. Let's get to what you're jumping ahead. So we got Clara out of the way because me. Okay, so Trenzalore.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place where the doctor's tomb is buried. He somehow already knew about it, but when people start bringing it up, he gets a scared feeling. He had to go to Trenzalore. Immediately upon setting foot upon Trenzalore, we see a tomb TARDIS in stone that was kind of askew, asymmetrical, with a very cliche lightning bolt coming down on it to signify that it was creepy, air quote. And I kind of rolled my eyes at that because it just felt like Dracula's castle.
There's some bats flying out of the side.
But I was just like, okay, I'm going to let this ride because I want to know what's going on, but I just must bring that up. That eyes rolled right there.
Now, their techie explanation I thought was kind of cool. You got a little dimensional leakage going on. It's an old TARDIS.
It's the TARDIS. Yes. Yeah, I can see it's the TARDIS. No.
Yeah,
it is
where's
the
light storm come? It never rained.
It's only creepy when the lightning goes off. It's not creepy when it rains.
There was lightning in the time vortex. So, you know, there's always lightning around the TARDIS. Don't worry about it.
It draws it in.
Whatever. So the great intelligence. Great intelligence comes in with this whisper men who kind of look like the guys from Hush and Buffy, but also looks like the Silence guys and from Dark City, and you know whatever. What's the great intelligence beef for being there? Like, what didn't he like die? How is he back? What's going on?
How do you mean?
Why is he there? What is he doing?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. Make sure that...
He's doing his job of thwarting the doctor. That's what the great intelligence does. It goes, doctor, you've screwed me up time and time again. Now I'm going to erase you from existence.
So his idea of doing that is going to the tomb of the doctor, breaking into the
TARDIS.
Casket, if you will, of the doctor. Seeing his dead...
That's not bad, because basically it's his book, it's his story. You'd be able to track all of the doctor's actions throughout all of history. That's not a bad prize if you're trying to go after him. That's not a bad thing to try to find.
And besides,
but why is he an electrical vagina?
It's very timey wimey. All right, this is very complicated. Don't talk about why it sparkles.
Okay.
We don't speak of Wyatt Sparkles.
What's
going on? Yeah. Okay, but it's just like
you expect it to look like a blue book? You know, come on.
Excuse me? What did it? What?
A book?
I said, what did you expect it to look like? A blue book?
I would have preferred that, maybe.
It
feels like they blew the budget on that.
Okay.
No, right. No. That's actually really simple After Effects effect. It's very simple. Don't worry about it.
Apparently they saved money from the previous episode.
I know.
Right.
You know, the mill, the company that it closed down.
Oh, well,
it wasn't getting enough revenue from doing that.
That's why. Seriously. With those special effects, I can understand.
What feelings were going through you when Doctor was being erased from time? Like, did you feel like that was going to happen? Did you feel like it opened up a whole new thing where you're holding a breath like, oh, something's going to come through at the last moment and it'll be set?
My head kind of, all the pieces fell into place. I was like, this is where Clara does her thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could see that.
Yeah,
we right knew up, that was what's going on.
Right up on the thing. Bing. Oh, I see. It's a thing. I got you.
Oh, okay.
So which is, I think it's supposed to happen.
The doctor, then, after that, entered his own dead body electrical vagina, which was weird.
Okay, where are you getting vagina?
Because the freaking intelligence said he's going to slip through the opening, and it's...
Okay, the vagina.
And I was just like, it's happening. Why are we calling it this?
It's a tunnel. It's never
mind. Yeah, but he said something weird. Well, okay, mind went there, and it never left.
That is hilarious. Okay, well... I didn't get the image.
And the girl comes up with a vagina reference.
I know. I did not get the image.
Now I can't get out of my head. Thank you very much.
It clearly was a light ribbon that was shaped like a fractal root. Now, what junk looks like going on in other people. But
really? Okay, so
we went right off the edge of the cliff.
Somebody's going to agree with me on that one day. Anyway, he went inside of his own dead body. That's like if I travel back in time, saw my urn on the mantle, like crashed it to the floor and rolled around in my own ashes, and then like poof, voila, went somewhere. That's weird. Why would you do that?
But it's not a body. Bodies are boring.
But it's the equivalent of his dead body.
Well, yes, but it's obviously not a dead.
I'm not sure it was his dead body.
No, me neither. No,
What I think it was is it was a manifestation of the rip in time left by him doing things. So I don't think that you know, Light was him in any way. I believe it was his story. I believe it was the hole left in space-time because of all this messing around.
So it is a hole.
Yes.
A hole in space-time.
Even though it didn't look anything like one. Oh, jeez. You're really going to hang on to that, aren't you? I'm trying to save you. You're going to listen back at this show and you'll be like, it didn't really look like a cooch. I don't know what I was I am trying to help you here.
I told these guys that I had a migraine at the beginning of this episode and that I'd be taking migraine medication.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're beginning to see the effects.
Wrap yourself down, kids. It's going to be fun.
Okay, hole. Go.
There are a lot of people going to the doctor's hole in this episode. He had intelligence. He had Clara going. He went in there. There was a lot of traffic in the doctor's hole.
On something.
Find John fucking hurt.
Right? Thank you, Will. How do you go inside your own corpse hole and find freaking John hurt in there?
Oh, boy.
What is that happen? You know, because he turned around, so I didn't know it was kind of like, who's this shadowy figure? And then I saw ears, right? And then I saw like a moto jacket, and I was like, oh my God, is that Christopher Eccleston? Oh my God, I'm going to breathe. Oh my God, I'm going to hyperventilate. Oh my God, oh my God. And then turns around, John Hurt. And then my head exploded because I didn't expect that. And wow. And then it said, boom, John Hurt as the doctor, November 23rd. And I was so amused by that. I loved
Apparently.
It was just my favorite thing ever because that was them saying, fuck you. You know, just so great the way it was done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be glad to see an adult doctor again. Really? I mean, that's what I want. To finally bring some adult supervision back to who the doctor is. I miss that. It was fun seeing, you know, young doctor for a while, but he's not selling it for me entirely. So to have another, you know, an alternate doctor, that's going to be better for me. I think it's time. I think it's time.
I agree with that, but I don't think that he'd be the sole doctor because the kids, quote unquote, wouldn't take that old man as.
No, that's fine. I understand. I understand.
So here's the theory I have, though. They're going to make a spinoff of some sort. And so if they spin him off to John Hurt doing something darker, which I won't say like Torchwood because that was a disaster, but you know, sort of something darker, you know, keep Matt Smith as the kind of Sarah Janey type of doctor. I would approve of that as long as I can watch the John Hurt. Now, my interesting thing that I have going on in my head right now about a theory about John Hurt is that he's the in between John McGann and Christopher Eccleston doctor. That's my little working theory.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking to my friend earlier today, and yeah, that's kind of what we've come up with. There are three possibilities. So it's either that, or he's the doctor that comes after, because he looks at costuming. He's very much into costuming. He's an artist, and he's very much into how these people look. And so, if you look at Eccleston, you mentioned Hurt's.
Yes, that's exactly
his mother's jacket.
Yeah. Yes.
He said if you look at him, he looks like an agglomeration of Christopher Eccleston and
Paul McGann and
Sylvester McCoy. It's kind of glommed together. And if you look at him, it's like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. Or he could be McGann's doctor at the end of his time being the doctor from the Time War.
That's what I thought. That's what it's like to me.
Right. Or he was the doctor before these 11 doctors happened.
I believe that's what it is, because the doctor recognizes him.
Exactly.
He's not a future doctor.
Right.
He sees him,
and
he knows who he is, and he's ashamed of who he was. Or at least afraid. So exactly.
I would think that if he's ashamed, then it has something to do with the Time War, not pre What was the first doctor? Hartnell.
Hartnell, yeah, thing, he could be. We were trying to call him the 12th Doctor, but that didn't work, so we called him the Gamma Doctor. Because we don't know what he is, so he's Gamma. So, yeah. But
I thought he was 8.5.
I'd go with 0.5.
But the concept is, why did he run away? What was he running away from?
Who?
Yeah,
that's right.
And what kind of an idiot steals a broken TARDIS?
He
did not want to be there. But his granddaughter wanted to be with him. So you could say he was another care. He was another being, and then he changed and became Hartnell and became the rest of the other 11 doctors.
Maybe, because they were showing that clip, and that would kind of have a sort of sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think that little question is so intriguing.
What question? Don't say Doctor Who.
Not that question. Well, actually, it kind of is. It's who's this guy? Who is? Where does John Hurt fit in this realm? And how does that relate?
I don't know, but I'm excited about it.
And we have to wait.
I just really enjoyed my response. Like, I wish I could have
a bottle of it. Have a bottle of it sitting by the. And when I'm watching Warehouse 13, I can just splash a little bit on it. Like, yeah, I actually like this show. No, it's not that good.
Oh, why did we go Warehouse? Okay.
We were also talking about sci-fi and how terrible they are.
Leave it alone. It's getting.
I know it's a thing, but
let it go. Anyway, but so Carl, what happened with you when you saw all this?
Yeah, we covered it. I mean, at first I thought it was Eccleston. Eccleston at first. I was like, what's going on here? But I had a sneaking suspicion it's Dr. 0.5. That was it, because I was excited. Like I told you, I like kind of the wiser, older Doctor versions. You know, I like to feel like that he's appreciating the moment and he's enjoying the insanity of what's going on, but like he's still seen it before, or he's still been there, or he's done it. Somehow the younger Doctor always makes me feel like he's genuinely winging it. Like he's not quite sure, he doesn't know how this is going to turn out, and we'll see what's going on. All of the elder Doctors seem to have a certain wisdom and perspective. They left space for insanity. They were fun, and they were playing around, but there was just sort of a more of a security to them. So I missed that facet of who the Doctor was. And to see an older one, and I think the casting was good, because he really does kind of look like, a couple Doctors. He kind of looks like a Doctor. So I thought that was good. I am excited as well. I'm excited.
The only reason I thought they were getting younger, because he was beginning to, I guess, be a little bit more senile. And that's what I was taking. Because you said he felt like he was brand new all of the time, right? Everything was like he didn't know what to do. So I just felt like because he was getting younger, he was going a little bit senile. But it looks like he was getting younger. But in fact, to compensate for him being younger, he just, I don't know. Whatever.
I can see, like space time Alzheimer's or something.
That's kind of what I made up in, but I do agree with you, Carl, on that. I do want something a little bit more mature, because I appreciated Sarah Jane, but this last season felt a little too Sarah Jane. Clara is responsible for that for me, because she's a little too Disney for me. Everything she does feels like she's straight off of the Disney Channel, and like, I don't know. and I don't believe her or whatever or something for some reason. It feels like she's selling me Pudding Pops, or I don't know, it just feels like she's selling me something, some cereal or something, because she does this, she acts with her eyes, and she's always like, this is jolly good, and this is, she's just a little too peppy, and I want something a little bit more tactile and real and not
when here on an off day is what you're saying,
or something. She's just a little too perky and a little too perfect, and I want something a little bit more edgy.
Mm-hmm. So. I was hoping that we would see that at some point, because they try to do a good job of making well-rounded characters, especially if they're the prime characters. I have not seen her darker side yet, so that. Yeah.
And we did see that on Amy, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Rose.
Rose, yeah, God, Rose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only episode where I really felt Clara was the, what was the, when we said the ones that was Sanford and Son in space? What was that?
Journey to the Center of the
Sun. Yeah, that's the only one where I kind of just was like all about Clara, and that was the only episode.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, she just went back to the extra weird overacting perkiness thing that I don't really like. So,
Do we know whether TARDIS doesn't like her?
Yeah. It's not that I don't like her. It's just that I don't believe her.
I mean, the TARDIS. I'm not talking about you. Well, I mean,
why doesn't the TARDIS?
I understand
like
why
her,
you don't like her.
Well,
I was thinking
maybe because it's the same reason.
No, it's not because she's perky. That's not why the TARDIS doesn't like her. It might be because the TARDIS knows that she's responsible for, taking the Doctor back to the place where he dies, making the TARDIS visit its dead self, jacked up the timeline and is splintered all inside, you know. The TARDIS may just be saying, you know, this girl's just not right for you, Doctor. That's all it is, you know. That could be it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. But I'm so excited about John Hurt. I don't know what's happened. I haven't read any of the 50th. All I do know is that I'm super disappointed in Christopher Eccleston and not participating. I think it is a mistake. I think he's being a genuine asshole. And I think he needs to pull his head out of his ass so he can get on with this. Because it's not like he's doing anything. So
My only comment on that is... that might have been a lot more money than they could have put into a single episode budget, or a dual.
Christopher
or a dual
Eccleston
budget.
Said straight up that he does not want to have anything to do with Doctor Who franchise. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about, really.
That could be, you know, it could. I don't really have anything to do with the Doctor Who franchise at the rates they're willing to pay. I think that might flow into that kind of a. Of a thing, yeah, might want that much.
The hope that I had when I saw the ears and the jacket was that I thought that he was feeding us a line of bull crap, and it was going to turn around and be him, and I was just going to be done for the rest of the year. Like, you have been able to talk to me, I would not have been able to use words properly.
The vapors, you would come over with the vapors and just fall over.
Yep, get me a fainting sofa, dude.
Well, here's the thing, and it's getting right back to my first point. What made Doctor Who really unique is back in the day when they had no money and their special effects were terrible, what made the series so excellent was the storytelling. The storytelling was really, really off the charts, and they made up for the fact that they didn't have that. The other thing that's exciting is the fans are forgiving with Doctor Who. We have been through some stuff, with the Doctor. And so if you can
7 years
tell us... Yeah, no. I mean, way
no,
back.
No, I'm saying, like, there's no Doctor Who. I think we've decided is the worst Doctor Who would be better than no Doctor Who.
So, you know, given that, if you're trying to, you know, marshal your cash and you're trying to put stuff away, if you guys could just tell us some crazy, crazy stories. I mean, you know, if we get, and I know this is too much to ask, but think about Blink. Think about Blink.
Oh, man.
Okay? And think about, you know, what budget-wise was necessary to produce that. Come on, that was nothing.
That was like the budget of Paranormal Activity or something. That was like nothing.
It even didn't have David Tennant in it.
Exactly. Clip.
Barely,
you know, they could have Skyped him in, you know, really.
Literally.
got in front of a television set.
Literally, that's what I mean. They literally could have Skyped him in. So what I'm saying is, you know, as fans, if you don't even have to tell us, look, if you're going to try to, you know, save some cash or whatever, you don't have to set 9 episodes of your season in Victorian England, you know, again. But set it in a park. Set it in a school. Set it someplace small. And tell us just a really, really
back to the damn quarry. Story.
Yeah, back to the damn quarry
and set up a damn camera.
You know what? You're right. The fans would love that because just for the sentimental value of that.
The sheer nostalgia of it.
You could get away with a really fun story that with them running around in a smoky quarry, and the fans would love it because it's
you
so
put it at night, you put the star
so
in the
you know?
Stop it. You know, I think they spent way too much money on Rings of Akutan, and we suffered for it for the rest of everything.
I don't think that really big crowd wasn't really big. It was really small.
Yeah, but they had the market area, and that's always expensive.
Camera tricks a little. I don't know.
It just seemed like that one was really big and really expensive, and not
that interesting. Not that interesting.
It was like the worst thing I've ever saw since Town Call Maybe.
So, you know, if you're cranking out, so that's all I'm saying. I mean, as fans of Doctor Who, we've been through it. We've been through a lot. We are very tolerant of a lot of stuff, but you got to at least give us a good story.
I've watched all 5 seasons of Earth Final Conflict, so I can tolerate
it. Cat, no one has that kind of intestinal fortitude. You are a mad. You are a super
freak. I can tolerate. I can tolerate a lot.
Did you watch all the episodes of Andromeda?
I've seen a lot of them, and I have. I was really excited when I acquired all of them, and someday soon, I might do a rewatch.
Why?
Because it makes me happy.
I actually blacked out somewhere in the middle of Andromeda. I mean, I tried. I saw it in the beginning. And then there was this dark time, and then I remember seeing it toward the end, and I'm pretty sure I was in front of the TV during that time in between. But
that's how I
happened,
watched
right?
it too, yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
Was just, actually, no, I think you probably saw them right straight through because, like, never mind.
I don't.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Sorbo, I'm doing the fifth.
He's good though. He's I like him.
One last question: why was River Song there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that might have been the denouement. That might have been the end.
I mean, it's all stunt casting. It's the stunt casting. Yeah, I love River Song. I love seeing her. They don't use her. They don't. They did not use her. And so she was a phantom. She's a recording. She's an echo. Clara sees her. The Doctor sees her.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
But that's
spoilers. Oh dear!
What a worm!
Oh,
stepping back.
Yeah. So, it sounds like we're down on this episode, but I highly enjoyed it. Even with the Clara thing, I like her more than it sounds like I like her.
would hope so.
Yeah. You could not like her more and still keep it in the like column.
You're pretty hard on her.
And I'm not. Upset this episode. We're just giving it a critical look over, but in general, this to me was it had a lot and it had everything, and I really enjoyed it.
There's a little blurb between Matt Smith and David Tennant about talking, and it was before they could talk about any things. And I have to say I adore David Tennant because he's a fan and he wants to go, look, it's gonna be a great episode and this is gonna happen, but he can't do that obviously. But he said 2 things which have told me amount.
Okay, now hang on, are you about to spoil something?
Yeah, because I don't want it.
Because I don't want to hear it either.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So listening to the clip, it's cool, but the other thing he said, and it only says who the villains are.
Okay, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know either.
No, it's great.
2 against 1. Don't do it.
We'll wait.
Don't do it.
You've been outvoted, sir.
I'm not waiting.
You are out of fantasy.
No.
Okay. But so this was very exciting, folks. I can't wait. We obviously love the blah, blah, blah. Uh-oh, tongue getting
yes,
twisted. Yeah, the medicine.
We love the show is what I believe.
Kicking in there. Yeah.
Said. Yes.
Yeah.
And we only have 6 months to wait.
You can have a kid. Or...
Only if you have a time cooch.
Oh God!
The kid will be sparkly. Think about it.
Oh, I dislike you. I let it go, Carl. I let it go.
Oh,
you make me sick. Okay. Anything else, guys? Right quick before we. Close out the
show. It's going to be a great summer. Going to the movies. Iron Man, Star Trek, thumbs up from my book. I'm having a ball already.
Pacific Rim.
That little movie about the guy from out of town. What was that? What, Man of Something? Super.
I think he's those darn illegal aliens.
Oh, we're talking about the longshoreman.
Yes, there you go.
Yes,
the longshoreman
and the pushing up the no. I don't know. That looks okay.
That is so funny. It stuck with me because wow, longshoreman. That's just so funny.
You got strong backs.
I'm so afraid about Zach
the Sun.
I'm so afraid.
Really, I'm not afraid at all.
Because his movies are great, or they're not great. They're great or they're not great.
They're good.
And I don't want it to be not great.
Seriously, all he has to do is be shirtless. I'm good.
There you go. You're doing that.
I liked the Brandon Routh version. And I'm like apparently the only person who liked Brandon.
You that's because you like him. You don't care about anything else but him.
Right.
And he looked like a good Superman.
The characters.
What is wrong with you? He was a good. He looked like Superman,
mm-hmm.
and just like what's his name that played Lex Luthor? The casting was excellent.
Kevin Spacey, yeah.
Kevin Spacey was he could have been an awesome Lex.
Oh God, he was amazing.
But what in the world just happened? It was just nothing happened.
That was it. The story tried to adapt the it tried to be a sequel to the first movie, and I got to tell you. Go back and look at that movie. It's crap. Total crap. And but with Nolan,
you're right. Now that might help.
And his brother writing it. His brother. I mean, I've loved those guys since Memento. They're brilliant authors, the both of them for movies. And it's just
I just feel like it's going to be good. I don't know. I have a feeling.
No. I am
cautiously optimistic. I am hopeful, but I'm just afraid. I don't want to be disappointed. Is what it is. I was all dressed up for the last Superman movie.
What?
You know, the girl I was with, she had a Superman shirt on. I had a Superman shirt on, you know, and my and I had a shirt. You know, I could rip open the shirt and you can see my Superman shirt underneath.
Oh,
and my girl had hers on, you know. We went and just to be in the theater and. And I kept waiting, and it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. I don't want to be hurt again. Superman, don't hurt me again. Come on now.
No. But I don't know. I mean, there's Wolverine. There's a bunch of other. I'm not big on the Wolverine movies. I'm not.
I mostly like
three quarters of the movie.
You said mostly like.
Mostly,
the movie. I mean, but that last one. See, I don't like what's that guy's name? Ryan, Ryan
Reynolds.
Greenland. I don't like Ryan Reynolds. I'm sorry. Yeah,
he's in RIP. RIPD.
Yeah, I know.
And it's oh god, that looks so bad.
It looks like a bigger Men in Black, but with him in it, and that's not at all selling it.
And the guy from True Grit.
Oh, hang on. Kat, have you seen the previews for RIPD? You know what we're talking about?
No.
Okay, yeah. Remember, she's been isolated. In
oh, yeah, that's right. You've been in the intermediation.
So there, if you could cross...
How dare you.
If you could cross Men in Black with
oh, I have seen... Oh, okay. I've seen the commercials for that. Is that a TV show?
No, it's
going to be a movie.
Well...
Oh.
after a fact. Yeah. Semi.
You're right. Exactly. It is being sold as a movie. This.
You'll pay your money. You'll go in. Oh, it's going to have
Thor. I mean, not Thor. Tron guy in it.
Tron guy. Yeah. Playing the true great guy.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Cogburn.
Just behave.
The only one I'm looking forward to is Elysium.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh God, that looks so great.
You're not looking for you're not looking forward to After Earth.
Oh geez. I was sitting at a table of people that started talking about After Earth. They said, "Ooh, I can't wait to see After Earth. I'm a fan. I love Will Smith, and it's gonna be great." I said, "You do know who is behind that film, right?" They said, "Who? Who are you talking about?"
Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
And they said, "Wait a minute, what did he make?" And I listed his last five movies, right? I just went through. They were like, "Holy crap! I ain't going."
There's a reason. People
I did, I just listed his last five movies, and they just bailed, right? They're like, "No, I'm not going to see that." Set like 600 years in the future. These two drop down on the jungle planet. They got what? Sticks. That's all I'm saying. I do not want to see people fighting with sticks. From 600 years, they drop out of their spaceship. He's got a stick.
The
no.
Kid's flying.
No.
He's got a squirrel suit. And he's flying with a fucking squirrel. I'm like, squirrels don't fly with a fucking squirrel suit. What the hell are you doing?
Really? That's just... So it's I'm off, afraid. I mean, oblivion. You see like... all that. I'm sorry. You see all that influence of M. Night trying to get back to nature, as he always loves to do, and then he just brutalizes it and bastardizes it in a way where you don't, you can't get on the side of nature at all whenever you see his
stuff.
I wonder
what the twist is going to be.
Oh, geez,
like they're in a simulation.
Yeah, they're going to be in a simulator. You're absolutely right. Yeah, and everybody will go, "What the f-?" And you leave.
I hope that doesn't happen.
You know, because like that one way was like, "Oh, the trees are angry, so they're killing people." Man, that was terrible.
The crappening.
So bad.
That's right.
The crappening. The crappening. Yeah. Okay, so World War Z. Excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know I like zombies in general, so... High-speed zombies.
I'm with it.
That's horrifying. I saw that trailer when I went to see Star Trek, and I was just horrified because zombies, I got into a place where they just become like bugs and you just kill them because of Walking Dead. You know, you know what to do with them now. But
that's a thing. Yeah, it's a MacGuffin. It's not... But this is like the hive zombie
is what's going to
kill
be
the first one. What? You have to kill.
Is wait, what do you mean hive zombie?
It's hive zombie. That's what's going to make it.
It's a zombie.
It's going to be like the blob, but made out of people. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody move as one in a whole group or something.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's why you haven't simulated with water simulations.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so what about Kick-Ass 2? Y'all excited about that?
Yes.
I haven't seen the previews for it, but I just love it. I can't wait to see that.
Go out and see it. Seek out the things, because Jim Carrey plays General...
Get out of here. Jim Carrey's, man.
And he's a guy who's like, go out and have fun. So, yo, otherwise, what are you trying to do? It's like, he's like the guy in the down the street, the wife beater T-shirt, and with a pit bull. Except he's got a mask, and he's all bulked up with his stuff, and he's got a pit bull, and it's hilarious.
That's funny.
Oh yeah,
or Rottweiler or something. Like that.
Okay, are y'all excited about Riddick? There's a new Riddick movie.
I actually kind of am. I hate to admit.
Why?
I like Chronicles of Riddick. I like Chronicles of Riddick because I have no reason why. Everything in that movie I'd seen before. You know, it was corny as all get out. You know, but I
what about it, not Chron. Wait,
the acting
Chronicles.
Was mediocre. Yes.
The Chronicles. What was the one where with Carl Urban?
What?
The Chronicles of Riddick.
Okay, well then, what's the one with the other Riddick then?
Pitch Black.
It's gonna be this new Riddick is gonna be more like Pitch Black.
Good. Yeah. Well, I like that one better.
Yeah.
So that's
good. They're chasing him through the galaxy, and the person who's chasing him through the galaxy is Katie Sackhoff. I'm like, thank you. I'll be there.
Starbucks, because Starbucks. He's stressed just like freaking Starbucks.
Yeah. What's his ex-wife? That's all. She wants alimony. That's all it is. Alimony is face.
Okay, so what about Ender's Game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I saw the previews to that finally. That was... I'm excited
about it. The only thing I'm disappointed about is Orson.
The fact that it's Ender Games.
Well, Orson Scott Card is an asshole, and he's a bigot. But I didn't know this prior to reading the book, and I really loved the book. So I'm seeing it in the spirit of me not knowing anything about that. And not dealing with him, because every book after that was kind of not good. So because he's an asshole, I guess, you know, he's paying the price for it and not releasing good things. But
amazingly enough, if you look, his name is not really on any of the advertising.
That's good, because
I mean, his credits there, but not his.
By the world famous, really cool guy, Orson Scott Card.
Ender's Game. So I'm looking forward to, because of course, you know, our man is in there. So of course we're
on Solo.
Yeah. So
on Solo rules the universe. Yeah, and I want to see how they did the zero G fighting. It's very cool. I haven't read the book.
Oh man, the book was so.
I'm going to do an experiment on this one. If you're going to see a movie, don't read the book first.
Yeah.
I think that's probably wise.
Watch the movie and then read the book, because the book will supersede the thoughts in the movie, and you'll go, oh, no, what? They did that. They did that. Yep. I did that a long time ago with Christine. I saw the movie. I love the movie. And with a bunch of people who all read the book. And they were like, oh, God, you're kidding. It's crap. Read the book. The book enhanced the movie. And it's like, okay, that's...
Yeah, I agree. That's a better plan.
Because that's what I had with Hunger Games.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, because I read the books first, and then I saw the film and that. But Carl didn't read the books, and he even said that the film was kind of mediocre. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would have to read a book to make that film better. So that is the proper order.
Ender's Game, if you have not read the book, it is what Hunger Games wants to be.
Yeah.
I can say that with confidence. Like, Hunger Games can't hold a candle to the Ender's Game. And if we divorce a Card from it, the writer, it's an excellent story. So
That's good.
Yeah. The film I'm anticipating the most is Thor: Dark World.
Really? Why is that? Why would that be
I'm most anticipating Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas. There's a rumor that he's gonna do space, and we'll have to see it.
Not gonna see it. I'm willing it not to be. No.
But it's in space. You know, my thing is, if it has spaceships.
Medea in space? It's Medea in space? That's what we're talking? That has potential. I gotta say. Medea in space has potential.
No. I've never seen those Medea films, so I don't know what. I mean, I've seen the commercials enough to know that
he's a big black guy in a dress in a space suit. I mean, that's just comedy right there. That writes itself.
Makes me
no.
Funny. Yeah. So is anyone looking forward to The Hobbit?
I didn't see The Hobbit. Yeah. I didn't see the first one.
Yeah, just watch Lord of the Rings again. You've seen it. So let's switch gears one more time before I let you guys go. Have you been watching that new sci-fi show, Defiance?
I am watching Defiance.
How is it? Should I watch it? Should I waste my time? What should I do?
God, I hate to say. You know, you're accusing me of being cranky, old Carl. Here's the thing. So you know Farscape. You know some of the folks behind Farscape. What's Rodney O'Bannon, I believe, is one of the bigwigs behind Defiance. Farscape was very rich, and it had a balance of elements in it, of action, of comedy, and emotional underpinning. You know, it had a depth to it that when those things played together, the series was really fun to watch. It was, and you never quite knew what to expect. When you watch Defiance, you understand what part of Farscape Rodney O'Bannon was responsible for. There is backstory and brooding mood, and there is depth going on in Defiance. And that's about it so far. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and it's undeniably rich. I mean, you can feel the space they're in. What's going on is kind of believable. The characters, you see there's a certain, you know, richness and well-developedness to them, but then you're watching it, and stuff isn't really happening. They fell into that same trap where, like, the first two episodes, they had a big battle scene and a lot of action and stuff was going on. And you're led to believe that, you know, you can expect that with the next couple of... No. And then, no, we're talking about politics in a village. I mean, actual political politics in a village. We're talking about, you know, the challenges of trading in certain, you know, between two clans.
Wow.
It really... So there is a foundation. There is a framework for something a lot more happening. Mm-hmm. There's a framework there, but and I'm hanging on because, you know, I like the old crew. You know, I'm trying to support the Farscape folks, and I want good sci-fi on TV. The production value is good. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. It's like the framework is there, but it's not quite delivering yet. So I don't know what to say. You know, if you watch it, maybe you'll feel the same way. And maybe you'll be willing to hang in there with me like I'm doing when I'm watching it.
Final Conflict.
No, it ain't that bad. It's not that bad. but.
They haven't. Well, hey, wait. Hold on a second. They haven't changed anything yet. Wait till next season and they change everything.
Well, are you still watching Revolution, Carl?
No. Hell no.
God, I can stop watching it now. Jeez.
The thing about Defiance, though, is. It's the tie-ins. It's the fact that you can play. They actually tout the fact you can play between the episodes in the actual world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on the video game, which is great, except that
I don't have a video game.
Well,
I don't have the video game.
It's another $50. I mean, you can spend $50. You can spend $50.
Is the game that good?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it doesn't. There's all the politics and all the. You know, if you want, it can be a Twitcher, I guess.
What does that mean?
Oh, that's just a fire. Everything that moves. And then you amass wealth and you amass stuff and you trade for things and you go out and shoot more people. That's basically it. It's just there's no depth to the universe. But the idea is when they were originally pitching this last year at this time, it was play the game, watch the TV show, and the game will affect the TV show. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I mean, you can say that it will, and somebody might mention the game occasionally, but it's not going to actually happen that way. Hasn't happened yet.
The booming success that was Bar Karma, because I am very interested in these experiments, these crossover experiments, where they have an online presence that is supposed to affect the show in some way. Yeah. I have not seen that done well yet. Even as a writer, though, I mean, there are interactions with the characters that you are creating that teach you things about your own character. Right. That's an exciting thing to experience.
Very much so.
I have not seen how you could do that with a video game, though. I don't understand how by playing the video game that you're going to learn something more about the characters.
You guys sound like crazy people right now.
No.
Are you serious? What are you talking about?
Y'all sound like crazy people. Like, this makes no sense. Okay, there's no way this is going to work out.
Well, no, yeah, but we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're saying.
We're trying to figure out how
it makes you sound crazy. It makes you sound like, why would anybody ever do this? Because this would never work.
But there is a possibility. That's why I was defending the point where, okay, so if you do write, and if you're interested in writing,
perhaps.
No. Anybody that writes, that's, you know, halfway decent writer. The fun thing about being a writer is, you know, sometimes you can set out to tell a story ahead of time. At the beginning, you know, you're developing your characters, you're putting them in a situation, and you've created the rules that are your characters, and you start to write.
Right.
And something happens with the development of these characters, with the interactions of the experiences, where you're like, oh, you know what? He really wouldn't do that here, or she wouldn't do that. And you start to learn things about that, and your characters start to tell their own story. That is a fun thing. And it is a common experience. So when you keep hearing, you know, people trying to say you can use a technology tool to control the story, the direction of a story, you keep hoping that something like that, you know, some glimmer of that is going to happen.
Exactly.
And so that's what I'm always hopeful about. Yeah.
We were talking before the show started, a story I've been writing. I got 10,000 words into it and said, no, this isn't right, and had to rejigger it. And it's working better now, but it's a narrative structure to a game. So you have to understand the game, to understand what's going on, to understand the narrative.
I don't think any of that is going to help out this Defiant show, though.
Kat, let me ask you: can you imagine any kind of a video game or online experience that would make this work? That would somehow draw you in to the experience of what's going on the show. Not specifically Defiance. We're just trying to understand the concept. You know, maybe
why do they have to do that? Why can't I just watch a TV show?
Well, because, you know, shows exist. They're trying to do something new.
I want to pay attention to the show, not fiddle around with my phone or go and play a game. Why do they need that crossover? Because obviously it just doesn't work. People are not going to – I mean, the most you'll get is like people on GitGlue who are making captions or something, chatting on Twitter while they watch the show, and that's the most you're going to get. I don't want to invest that type of time. I just want to watch the show and perhaps say something on Twitter or in a safe space where I don't spoil it for everyone, you know?
Is that where you get the stickers? Is that
GitGlue? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. I don't know why, but I
for
wouldn't.
Some reason it entertains the crap out of me. I don't know.
I know. I wouldn't even think of it. I don't know, you know, why, but I don't know.
Because you can't get this. I mean, you can order them, but they give you like random ones, so you can't pick them. And then you just have a profile with all these stickers, and you can't do anything with them. I just don't know why. I don't know why I like it, but it's just they use that in ratings now, so I have to present. Yeah. So
which whatever. Is like. Well, okay, fine, I guess. I don't know.
We'll try, you know, whatever. Future of television. Don't care. Just want to watch my shows. I don't care if I
am. Come on, Grandma. Don't you want to see what's coming?
I just want to see what's coming. If you can't do it right, if you're gonna end up being bar karma, or you're gonna waste my time like Defiance, just don't bother me. You know, get it right or shut it down. That's all I really care about.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just the beginning. It's an evolution.
Sick of being a beta tester. I felt like I've been beta testing products for like 10 years. So, I'm sick of it.
Remember Captain Power?
No, I don't.
I remember Captain Power. My God.
Yeah, you're too young for that one.
Tasha Yar and the girl on Captain Power on the same week.
I was
devastated as a young child.
I really loved Choose Your Own Adventure books, and that no one has quite been able to quite capture that same thing.
Well, it's getting to the point. I think a lot of the older games, like Checker's Guide to the Galaxy, it would be you have to figure out how to do it. Well, no, you didn't have to figure out how to do it. You had to figure out how they did it.
Yeah.
And I was very bad at that. I would always think, no, why don't you do this and this? And which would work logically, but wouldn't work in the story.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, no, make a game where the you have intelligence and the world is what you're playing, not the things in the world. And it's the concept of the Matrix is like, don't hack
you're not changing what you're doing. You're hacking the system to allow you to do it. You don't hack yourself. You hack the world. So then you get superpowers.
It's the Kobayashi.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's our show.
Hey. Oh. Honestly?
Yeah.
Okay.
You left with very wise words, Will. You ended it on a high note. Let's just call it 2 hours, man. Yeah. we love your
Welcome back, babe.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Oh. Okay, anyway. So feedback, you can do that on scifipartyline.com. Eric is still watching the Twitter feed on at @scifipartyline. We're on Facebook. We're also on Google Plus. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.